Inshallah. We're good to go?
Yes, we are.
Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma yanfa'una bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna ilman ya karim ya rabbil alamin. Allahumma nas'aluka bil ilmi nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa shifa'a li kulli da'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's good to see all of you when I will virtually see your names on the screen there. Alhamdulillah, for another week here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to hearing the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah ta'ala, try to benefit from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending down his Prophet to us. Alhamdulillah, a great bounty of us being able to be part of this deen and having the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around us so we can listen to it. As we know, there's many people in the world that have not been exposed to the guidance that, you know, of the Quran and the Hadith, etc. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be amongst those people. So first and foremost, we want to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make us part of these individuals that we call Muslims that take time to listen to these words as we're all trying to be successful in this world and to be guided of all the multiple tests and trials and directions and ideologies out there that are pulling us to act a certain way or to behave a certain way, to make decisions in a certain way. And so those that take time to listen to the Prophet's words and of course the Quran, as Dr. Siddiqui is going over, to help us be successful in making these decisions and inshallah ta'ala be successful in the hereafter. This is our penultimate session here of our class. And if you know what the word penultimate is, then you could put it in the chat box. That's a little quiz for today. It had nothing really to do with any of the hadith that we're about to go over. But anyhow, and so last session, we went over a hadith about that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that if people will give the rights to claim whatever they like, people will take the wealth and lives of people. But he said that the proof is upon the claimant, the one who's making the claim, and that swearing of the oath is upon the one who denies. And we went over that is kind of like the slogan that we have here is that, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And this is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, 1400 plus years ago. And then we also went over the hadith, just as a quick review, that if you see a wrong or an evil in around you or know about it, then you should change it with your hands, if not with your tongue, by being vocal about it. And also, if not, then at least with your heart, and that is the weakest, the lowest level of faith. And anything below that, there's the Prophet is saying that there's not much faith in there at all. So we talked about how powerful that hadith is. SubhanAllah, if we just focus on that hadith, we could definitely benefit a lot from all these, you know, this is week number 415 that we have gone over, this session of Imam Nawawi's 40 hadith. And so that is amazing hadith and very timely with the elections coming up and you know, all those things that we can vote on. I'm not necessarily talking about the presidential candidates that I'll let you discuss at your own, you know, circles, but at least the propositions and all the things that are out there, whether healthcare reform, whether there's taxes, or for small businesses, et cetera, all the different things. And this is something that, you know, we can change, at least help try to change with our voice. And that is to vote on those different things and whatever your opinion on is that. And I mean, and I'll say it's not the easiest thing to be informed about these propositions and these different legislations. What is it pro? Is it, should we do yes? Should we do no? And to read all about it. I mean, you could watch one commercial on it and you think, okay, I shouldn't vote on it, and watch another one, you think maybe I should. But anyhow, we just try to do our due diligence, and alhamdulillah, there's Muslim organizations out there that are trying to help us in this process. So today, we're going to go over some hadith. There's two long hadith that we're going to go over today. That's just the nature of the way they are. And these are hadith number 35 and 36. We're getting towards the end, as we mentioned. And so of this session here. So next week would be our last session of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi. And inshallah ta'ala, we will cover one short hadith next week and then try to do a quick review of all that we mentioned from the previous weeks. And that is, you know, obviously we covered so much, so it's kind of hard to remember everything. And that's the thing, you always want to review to try to make sure we put these lessons in our lives, inshallah ta'ala. And then after that, we'll be taking a break for these Sunday's classes. And then inshallah ta'ala, at the beginning of December, I will be starting another class on the fiqh as-salah, or the rules and regulations of tahara, of cleanliness and prayer. So going over everything about wudu and filth and how to clean that up off of our bodies or our clothing, and to make sure that we're ready for the prayer in terms of our cleanliness. And then everything that really pretty much does that covers and involves the prayer itself. So making mistakes in prayer. How about if you forget something? Do you stand with your hands here or your hands there? Where do you put it? What are the different opinions on all these different aspects of the prayer? And so we'll be going over that. And inshallah ta'ala, like I mentioned, we'll plan to start this in the first week of December, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets us see that time. So we'll go over the hadith for today and get started with that. Let me just share my presentation here. Bismillah. There we go. So like I said, this is session number 15. That seems like a long time now. Alhamdulillah, but that's good. And I'll put my screen up here. And so the first hadith I mentioned, like I said, it's quite long and it's going to take us a bit to cover both hadith. Both hadith are almost at the same length. There's tons and tons of benefit in it. And we're going to try to, in the short time that we have, to try to extract as much benefit from the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So hadith number 35, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu an, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, said, do not envy one another, do not inflate prices for one another, do not hate one another, do not turn away from one another, and do not undercut one another in trade, but rather be servants of Allah and brothers amongst yourselves. A Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. He does not oppress him. He does not fail him. He does not lie to him. He does not hold him in contempt. Taqwa, piety, is here. And the Prophet pointed to his chest three times. It is evil enough for a man to hold his Muslim brother in contempt. The whole of a Muslim is inviolable for another Muslim, his blood, his property, and his honor. Subhanallah. And you can find this hadith in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2564. And so you see right here, this is just a truckload of points of etiquettes and character and mannerism that the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning here. And you see these are one of the later hadith in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi that he's collected. And you see the Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is now going over and trying to conclude his 40 hadith collection on really focusing on, once again, the social aspects of what we face each and every day. And that is of character and mannerism. And you can see this, he kind of ends on this note because it's so important that, you know, is our mannerism and our etiquettes. You know, it's like how people behave and how people treat each other if you're going to have a healthy society. Right. And if you've been taking these sessions with me for the last couple, you know, Sundays here, we see that Imam Nawawi is building up this type of methodology, this type of structure from the hadith that he collected from going over the principles of faith in terms of what is our belief. Right. We don't want to have anything that enters our belief that's not from the religion. And then he builds in terms of character and principles of a society and, you know, respecting leaders, etc. And so he's going back again and emphasizing so much on a character and how we interact with each other. So let's try to see, inshallah ta'ala, we could go through these multiple points. Like I mentioned before, there's a lot of points here to go over to make sure to see if we have time to cover all of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first thing he says that, do not envy one another. And the word envy that's used here in Arabic is the word hasad. And this is also comes from the Surah Falaq, the second to last surah, or the penultimate surah in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq min sharri ma khalaq, wa min sharri ghasikin idha waqab, wa min sharri naffathati fil uqad, wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad. Right? And the last part of that surah is that we ask Allah for protection of the one who envies when he does his envying. Okay? That's literally what it's talking about. The one who is envious, right? And the person who's envious, who is that person going to throw that envy upon? And so we're asking Allah to protect us from when that person who has this disease in their heart of being of envious of other people, right? For whatever reason, that envy doesn't throw upon us. It doesn't come our way, okay? Because we could just be doing our nice, you know, life and not, you know, just not bothering anybody. But somebody could be watching us and knows about our life. And then guess what? Envy becomes upon us. And we could say, well, we didn't do anything. We're just living nice, right? And that's the thing, is that that's why it's really important to read this surah, to ask for protection against hasad, against envy, because sometimes you don't even know it's coming your way, right? And the thing is, that could be very subtle. And one thing I want to point is that, you know, you could have a, you know, alhamdulillah, just have a newborn child, and you could be celebrating that. And some people like to post on social media. That's one thing I kind of want to mention on. And I mentioned this to the youth a lot more, but alhamdulillah, I know adults are on social media too, of course. Is I watch what you post online, you know, all those people that are seeing your achievements. And that's good. You want to celebrate. You know, you want to let people know you had a newborn baby, or you got this, you bought a new house, or, you know, you're going to get married, right? But it could be someone out there that is struggling to have a child, right? And that's nothing to do with you. That's just the way that the nature is. You know, medically, maybe they're not able to get pregnant. And so when someone posts of a new child that's born, then someone could be envious that, why did they have a child for? Why can't it be me? And that's their problem, nothing to do with you, right? But then what happens is that person could start having envy upon you. And that has a lot of repercussions that could have, you know, could affect you. And so the point here, what I'm trying to say is that be very careful what you post online, what you, not just posting, but what you tell others, you know, not necessarily bragging, you know, but what you inform others about, because that could lead to other things. You know, people are struggling to get jobs, and you're saying how great your job is, and you're making very good money. It could be someone who's struggling and this got laid off, and so when they hear this, they could feel bad, or they could be, you know, feel envious of your position. And the thing is, they shouldn't. They should be happy for you. And we're going to get into this hadith, and that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about, that we should love each other. We should want good for each other. But the thing is that we don't want to necessarily give people fuel to bring on envy upon us. I know this is a bit of a sticky topic, because then you're saying, hold on, should I never celebrate anything? Should I never inform anyone about anything? No. You know, it's good, alhamdulillah. You know, we're not talking about bragging and being prideful. But here is that we want to make sure that be careful about those who you inform. Make sure that those who you inform are people that you know are respectable, people that you know that are not going to bring any envy upon you. And sometimes you never know. Okay, and that's something you never know. That's a problem. I've seen people who celebrate, they bought a house, and there's some people who are struggling with rent in an apartment, and they can't afford to put a down payment on a new house. And so next thing you know, that person says, you know what, I bought a house and I feel like so many people are kind of envy me. And they ask me, how much did I pay? Where did I get my money from? What bank did I use? And how can I afford this? And he said, I feel really uncomfortable now that, you know, that people know that I have a house and people are struggling renting. And so I feel like, you know, people who I knew for many years, I feel like, you know, they have some type, not animosity, but some type of jealousy, some type of envy. And so, but how can you hide that? You know, you invite someone over your house, or someone knows where you live. You know, it's tough. So that's why we read that surah Falaq. We asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from those that might be jealous or envious of us, if you will. Right? So this is a repulsive characteristic that is common in the nature of people. This is something that's just naturally in all of us. Okay? That's one thing the scholars have mentioned. And it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did he put envy upon us? That's just part of humans, right? Just like we like eating, we like getting money, right? But the thing is, Islam comes and shows us how to cater those instincts. Don't eat so much, only eat a certain portions. You want to, you know, get as much money as possible, you know, well, do it in certain ways that are permissible, even though you can go sell this and sell that, drugs and alcohol, and or pull a slot machine and think maybe you'll get money. But Allah says, no, no, no. Doing it in a way that is pleasing to me and what I have ordained for you for your betterment. So the same thing here, that jealousy is something that's naturally in us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioning of how to control that. And we're going to go over to a hadith that where jealousy or envy is actually, could be a good thing. You know, you might not think it'd be a good thing, but we're going to see how that could be possibly use that to in terms of positive energy in your life. So one thing I want to put here is that hasad is prohibited, is haram. And the reason why I put that in there, because usually you don't hear this. You hear about food being haram, but you know, spending your money this way is haram. You know, this time haram, haram, haram stuff. But how many times have you said that, you know, having hasad, being envious of someone, right, is actually, it's haram, right? And I wanted to put it there because sometimes that doesn't click, that when somebody feels like they're envious against somebody or has jealousy for some against someone, then they should say, you know what, oh, subhanAllah, I want to stay away from that. Just like I want to stay away from alcohol, just the way I stay away from eating pork, this way I want to stay away from gambling, right? That should be the attitude also. And sometimes we don't have that mind frame because it's not really, you know, advertised that way, that hasad or being envious is prohibited. It is haram. So what is hasad? Like, what is exactly that? How do the scholars define that? So here, one of the way the scholars broke it down in two different ways, two different opinions. Number one is dislike of a blessing that's bestowed upon a person. Okay. So for example, someone could be trying to get a job. Someone has a good education and someone else gets a job. So that person says, hey, I have more education than that person. I have more experience. How did they get a job? I'm here suffering. So what happened is that they dislike that that blessing is upon that person, right? They're not being helped. They're not celebrating that that person got a job. They're not happy for that person because they got a job. Is that they feel in their heart some type of jealousy, some type of envy. I'm using the word jealousy and envy because it has similarities to it. So that's one way the scholars have mentioned it. Another way the scholars have mentioned it is saying that envy or hasad is that for a person, this is really bad, but this happens, is that a person wishes for the removal of that blessing upon that person and to be given to you or another person. So for example, someone says, why did that person get a job? Like, and they feel like they shouldn't get it. They are hoping that the interview process goes bad, right? They might not say it, but in the heart, they're kind of doing that. Or they're hoping that, you know what, hopefully in a couple of weeks, you know, that you'll see that he doesn't get the job because he doesn't like or the manager doesn't like him. And people get that feeling sometimes, right? Or someone's going to buy a house. Oh, I'm going to put in my house there in escrow. And some people can feel envious for that. And they're like hoping that escrow doesn't go through, right? Because it'll feel like, you know, why do they deserve that for? Or they feel like, you know, I'm the one that should have got a job. I'm the one that should have a child. Or why do they have a child for? And, you know, and this is really, really bad stuff, like I'm saying, but you know, it's a reality. That this helps people sometimes, you know, feelings come into their heart. That's why we're going over it, to make sure we protect each other. Because I just put it here on the screen there, and the very first point there is that this is a repulsive character that's common in the nature of people. And guess what? Me and you, we're what? We're people, right? So this what? This is going to come our way. So we have to fortify ourselves, excuse me, to make sure that we don't feel this. And that's the reason why we're studying this. The reason why we're going over this in the Sunday morning here is to make sure that when this thing comes our way, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm thinking about that person. That, why did they do this? Why did they have a child? Why did they have the money? Why is his business doing better than my business for? You know, and sometimes Shaitan will come and say, yeah, hopefully their business goes down the drain. Hopefully, you know, your business does better. Yet, yeah, hopefully, you know, you get a child and you get a job and you get a new house and their house, you know, doesn't fall through or whatever the case may be. So we have to be really careful for this, right? Like I said here, so the example could be a new car. Right. Sometimes watch out how you flash your new car. You know, you might not want to, you know, parking in front of someone or, you know, show it off, because once again, that could open the door of envy, a new house, your wealth, your salary. You know, sometimes people are really nosy. They're like, oh, you got a job, mashallah. How much are they paying you? And then you fear in such a really uncomfortable situation. And so you try to like avoid those questions. And you try to give them a range. Oh, it's like between 60 and 100,000 somewhere there. You don't want to tell them exactly, right? Because then people are saying, oh my gosh, I'm getting paid only this much. And he's got paid that much. And I got a master's and he only got a bachelor's. So stuff for like, you have to be really careful of answering those questions. And just say, alhamdulillah, no, it's a good salary. I think it's, you know, alhamdulillah, it's good. I think it's good for what I'm doing and I'm happy with it. So you don't have to say a number, right? And they could, people keep on probing though, like exactly how much is it? 70,000, is it 100,000? You know, say, alhamdulillah, so, you know, it's a good number. It's something that we, inshallah ta'ala, that I feel comfortable with. That's, you know, maybe an answer that you could give people, right? And so you don't necessarily want to give out the exact number. You know, I know people, someone bought a house, and, you know, I remember the brothers like, oh, alhamdulillah, like, how much did you pay for it? How much was the house? And the person like, you know, I know it was around this much, you know? I know people actually, you know, they could go online, you know, Zillow.com and these different websites, and they could actually look and see what the closing price of that house is. And so people did that to that brother. They actually went on the one and they put his address in, and they actually knew exactly what he paid for. And so, subhanAllah, you know, it's, you know, subhanAllah, like, well, you don't need to do that. And I'm hopefully us here that are in this virtual classroom here, that we are not those type of people that go in and dig, delve into like, how much did they pay for that car? You look online, what model is that? And wow, that was $60,000 they paid. I wonder if they got a loan. I wonder if they paid all cash. Who doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, right? It's alhamdulillah, inshallah ta'ala, that brings barakah to them, or blessing for them, and, you know, inshallah ta'ala. And that's hard sometimes. Like I said, I'm making it sound easy when you're struggling to get a car and someone else has it. Like I said, this is a reality. Job, children, happiness, all these type of things, right? So envy is something that is, can be very detrimental to someone's character. And iman. Go back here. The Prophet ﷺ just emphasized this point here. Says, avoid envy as much as, run away from it as much as you can. For envy devours good deeds, just as fire devours fuel or grass. SubhanAllah, we live in a SoCal where we have wildfires, and, you know, may Allah help us with that. But you know how fast that could spread and just take out something. If you want to take a visual picture here, that envy could just wipe out all this hasanat, all this salah, all this fasting, right, that, you know, you might be accumulating because of, you know, envy that somebody has for someone else. Because envy, we're going to go into it, how it leads to other people's actions, right? Being envious leads to speaking bad about that person, treating that person bad, wrong now, because you don't like that they got this blessing and they feel like they're showing off. And then you start, you know, and it starts to have all these repercussions and manifestations of your relationship with that person. And so that could be very, very detrimental to your own self. Now you have bad character. Now you're doing things that are backbiting and gossiping and, you know, spying on the people, looking at what their house cost was online. And subhanAllah. So this is something that just leads, the shaitan just kind of leads you down the straight and lower into this area of sin and other things. So what is the envy check? All right, and we just talked about this. We don't want to have envy. We want to run away from this thing. Don't want to, you know, burn up our good deeds, right? How do we want to make sure that me and yourself, all of us, that we don't have this envy in our heart? The scholars have mentioned a couple things. Number one, do you get angry at the person's achievements or bounties upon them? Does it angry? Does it bother you? You get frustrated? You feel sad, right? So the word angry should actually be that. You can feel sad. You could feel bothered, right? When you hear that this person, you know, got this much money for their job, or that they just bought a house, just had another child, car, all those things that we just mentioned right there. So you could ask yourself, right? Next time when you hear about something else, about somebody, whatever it is, they're getting married, they're having a child, whatever it is, you know, how does that make you feel? And if you feel bothered by it, you don't feel happy, you feel like, you know, you have one of those looks like that, then that could be a red light. That could be a big red flag that maybe Shaitan is trying to input envy into your heart. Okay. Especially if you're a competitive person, where you're always trying to compete with people naturally, because you just want to, you know, you just, that's the nature of yourself. So when you, somebody gets something you don't have, then you get, you know, that could be an issue with people who are very competitive. You know, why do they have that for? And then what happened that could really, you know, affect the person's heart. Number two, do you yourself don't say good things about that person. So anytime that person's kind of brought up, you don't really congratulate them. You don't talk good about them. Those are on social media and those, you know, chat groups out there, WhatsApp chat groups, and someone said, oh, alhamdulillah, it's got a new job. Alhamdulillah, my child, you know, is past, you know, second grade, you know, or he just learned how to ride a bike, or, and everyone's like, mashallah, good job. Oh, wow, we're so happy for you. And you're the only ones that don't reply back and say anything that congratulates that person, right? I don't know if you guys experienced that before. Or you're in a room, someone's talking about somebody, and you just stay quiet. You don't say anything about that person when they're talking about how they're, you know, they started a new shop, or they started a new business, or they bought another franchise or something. And you're just, you know, everyone else like, mashallah, that's great. That's good. They're expanding. And like, you don't have nothing else good to say. So that could be a sign, because you're not like, oh, mashallah, that's great. So Hannah, you're having a new, your wife's pregnant. That's beautiful. Right. And how's your children doing? And if you're not, you know, you don't really like to talk about the good about that person, or, you know, celebrate with them, and that could be also a big red flag. That could be something between you and them in your heart that's preventing that. And that can also spark, you know, the wildfire we just talked about, right? And take away your good deeds. So be very careful about envy, about that, subhanAllah. So when is envy justified? Remember I told you, there could be good times when you could be envious about somebody. And so the Prophet said in this hadith here, that envy is justified but in the case of two people only. So only the one who has been given knowledge of the Quran by Allah, recites it during the day and night, and acts upon it. Pretty much what's understood, right? That alhamdulillah, when you see somebody who knows the Quran, basically knows the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we all should have this as a goal in our life, not just because they memorized it and they have a good voice. That's not what we're talking about here, right? But that's something, you know, if you want to have that, that's great. But alhamdulillah, they know the Quran, they're quoting it, you see they're living by it, right? You would want to try to aim to be like that person, to be envious of that person in a good way, that I want to be like. Basically, almost taking them as a role model here. That's a whole different view of it. Or a person who has been given the wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gives it out during the day and the night. That literally means that at nighttime they're giving away. It means that they're always donating, alhamdulillah. They're one of those people that donate and help, you know, build the masajid and build schools and build, you know, relief programs. And so, like, you want to be like that. You don't want to be the person that's there, you know, that could only give $20, $100, or $500, whatever. You want to be the ones that could drop a lot and really help these things. And that's good. We all should try to be like that. So we could push more good in this world. There's a lot of evil, so we want to push back the evil. So create more, you know, good in society, of relief programs and feeding the homeless, or building schools and promoting education, or Islamic centers, etc. So that you would want to be like that. So here the Prophet is saying that those people that raise their hand and they're donating X of, you know, thousands of dollars, is not to be jealous of them, you know, and but here you should try to aspire to do that, if you will, right? And so here that, you know, that's a whole different view in terms of this. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us of envy and make us of those, you know, subhanAllah, that doesn't have this in our heart. You know, like I mentioned, that's something that's be very detrimental to our character. And then the Prophet said something very interesting. He said, do not inflate prices for one another. And this is something that doesn't, me and you probably will not be involved in too much here. But here, what does inflating prices for one another means? Is that purposely offering to buy an item for a higher price than another customer, but only doing so to make that other customer pay more. So one thing, you have to put yourself in the mindset and the way things were bought and sold during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And actually in some countries it's still sold like this. So so that, you know, they had a souk, you know, they had a market, and people say, you know, I got this shirt here, I got this pot, I got this, you know, chair, furniture. And some people, okay, I'll, you know, nothing has price tags on it. You know, and that's one thing I know when I lived in Egypt, a lot of these like small, like, you know, markets and, you know, almost like a swap meet type areas, you know, nothing has, you know, nothing has price tags on it. You don't know what the price is. You don't know if you're getting ripped off or not, especially if you're a foreigner. That can be quite scary. Even here today, if you go to any of the swap meets out here, I don't know if they're even having them too much now because of the situation, but nothing really has price tags on it. You have to ask, the owner, like, how much is this shirt? And you don't know if that's the same price he's giving you or giving everybody, or who knows, right? So here is that people would ask, how much is this? And then someone says, okay, it's like, you know, that's the $20 for that pair of pants. And then someone come, and the Prophet saying that other person will come and say, I'll give you $25 for that pair of pants. And then you don't have, that person has no intent to buy that pair of pants for $25. They're only doing that to ruin the sale for that person. And that person's like, oh man, I really want that pair of pants. I'll pay $26. And the guy's like, okay, sold. I'll give it to you for $26. So now that person just paid $6 more. But that person just raised the price on them, even though they're not really, they weren't really planning to buy that. Okay. And so that's what the Prophet, I'm saying, like, you know, don't do that to your fellow brothers, where you increase, inflate the price on them when they're willing to buy something else. Okay. And this is something that, you know, I think we kind of do the opposite sometimes. You know, it's very interesting. If I would ask your opinion, you know, how has your experience been working with other Muslims in a business sense? So for example, you know, a brother that does construction, mashallah, he has construction, he could do remodeling of your kitchen and your bathroom. And then, you know, or someone who's an electrician in the community, or someone who knows how to do carpet, or someone who knows how to do, you know, masonry work, and they could, you know, do a new driveway for you, or do a patio for you, whatever, plumbing, whatever the case may be, or has a restaurant. And so what happens is, a lot of times with Muslims, when we deal with each other, we're always thinking about, you know, we want the biggest discount ever, which I understand, alhamdulillah, we work with each other, right? But sometimes it goes the opposite. We end up paying that person so less, right? And this kind of opposite to kind of what I'm saying here. We don't really inflate the prices. We deflate the prices so much, I end up hurting the brother or hurting that person that has that business, because we're like, oh, we're Muslim, so pretty much do for me for free, you know? And we're not giving them, paying them fairly. So it's almost opposite of what's saying here, you know? And so once again, it's our relationship with each other. So that's what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about here. Why is this for? Because this is prohibited because of, there's cheating and deception in it. That person really doesn't want to buy that pair of pants, right? He's deceiving that customer, thinking that he really wants to buy it, just only so they raise the price on them, right? So it's a type of cheating, if you will, that goes on. So the scholars have mentioned that this covers all type of buying and selling, of that cheating and deception can be involved in. Could any of you guys out there want to wake you up and get you a little more interactive here? And it's unfortunate, sometimes we're not as interactive as we like with this whole Zoom sessions. What are some practical things that you see in a society where people could do this type of cheating and deception in buying and selling things? I'm not necessarily raising the price on another person, but there's some type of deception that goes on where you feel like, you know, you're not paying the right price, or that something, you know, you're feeling you're being taken advantage of because of maybe of your ignorance of not knowing how much it is to fix a leak under a faucet. You know, you know, you just want to get it done. The person says $500, like, oh, okay, right? So this could, once again, this could be part of a deception, you know, and that's why I'm always scared when people come over and they want to get a quote on to fix this, to fix that, because you have no idea, a hole in the roof, I don't know, is that $2,000, is that $500, I don't know. And so if you don't get quotes from other people, you could be, you know, people could be taking advantage of you. So I don't know if you guys have any experience like that, or what are some examples of this where people could deceive others in this. And the reason why we want to go over this, once again, we want to make sure that we're not involved in any of this stuff in our transactions. And one thing I was going to say is deception is that before we go over the next point here, is like selling a used car. You know, that's always the scariest thing, right? When you buy a used car, because you don't know if that's gonna, you know, you drive around the block at 30, 45 miles per hour and you're like, oh, mashallah, air conditioning works, it sounds nice. But you drive it on the freeway, you go home, you start driving on the freeway at 60, 70 miles per hour. Next thing you know, all these weird noises and stuff going on. So people like to deceive people and not tell them all of the faults in that item before they sell it, right? And there's something the Prophet talked about, right? And there's something we have also, that if you sell something, then you need to expose, you need to explain all the defaults, all the faults in that item. I'm selling you my kitchen table. It's a used kitchen table, but I'm telling you right now, one of the lathes up there is really wobbly. I don't know, screws or the wood is bad. But if you want to buy it, it's $35. You know, here, right? I'm just letting you know. And so when you do sell things like that, you need to make sure you're transparent and you inform the other, because or else it's going to be a type of deception and cheating. And so you do not want to be like that. And a lot of us now, people are selling things online all day, you know, a lot more now with all the different platforms. So just be careful. You know, this could be the same thing as you're inflating the price when it really should be less, because the car has a transmission leak, or because that table has a wobbly leg, you're not letting that person know about it, or there's a missing piece that you're not informing them of that table that goes and extends the table, but you lost it and you don't want to tell them about it. So be very careful of that. That's all something that's how practical this point here of this hadith can be. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that do not hate one another. Okay, subhanAllah. I mean, we all know that that's pretty obvious. We shouldn't hate each other, right? But here the Prophet ﷺ says, use the word bagd, and bagd, tabagud, yani, it means not just dislike or not to you know, be angry amongst each other, but hate. And hate is something that's much different than disliking somebody. If say, I know I dislike that person, it means that, you know, you could tolerate them. You know, you're just like, I'm not very fond of that person. We don't have, you know, don't get along very well. But, you know, I mean, whatever, they're there. That's at the same table as me. It's not an issue. But hate, usually, if someone hates someone else, that usually implies that could turn into a violent thing. That can be turned into something where you really want to hurt that person, whether physically or metaphorically, you know, financially. And so we want to make sure we don't have hate between each other. Like I said, this talking about amongst Muslims here. And we went over already, do not get angry, even though that wasn't really, like, you know, connected to hate. And that was in a previous hadith there. And in that session, we went over how to remove hate from our heart. And we talked about making dua for each other, you know, to try to get that out of our heart. When someone hates someone else, try to make dua for that brother or for that sister. So you're training your heart to have some type of love for that person, right? And so do you make sure you get that hate out of yourself. Okay, that's very important. You don't want that sticking in your heart, because that could cause a lot of issues. And like I said, you go over the hadith on don't get angry. If you guys remember that session, that was a couple of weeks ago. And inshallah, you can review that, inshallah ta'ala. We had a lot of good discussion on that. And then the Prophet ﷺ talks about do not turn away from one another. I want you to talk about, look at this. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ, he's a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He's not just saying random advice. Every advice I've given you is inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, the word format, the words that he's using. And look what he says here. Do not hate one another. And what comes right after that? Do not turn away from one another. Which makes sense, because somebody who hates hate for someone else, they're going to turn away from them. They're not going to want to meet them. They don't want to, you know, have any interaction with them. Okay. And so the Prophet ﷺ is saying, naturally, when people hate, guess what? They don't want to meet each other. They don't want to say salamu alaikum to each other. They don't want to greet each other. They don't want to invite each other to their gatherings. So the Prophet is saying, "Hey, this is what's going to happen. Here's another solution for it. Do not turn away from one another. So what does it mean that do not turn away from one another? Number one, it could be physically. All right, a person's coming, and you know what? You literally turn away from them, and so you don't greet them. So you don't have to see them, right? Believe me, people do this, right? People do this, right? They say, salamu alaikum, and so the other person's there, they just turn away and walk away to, you know, let that person know that I'm not saying salamu alaikum to you. And I'm purposely turning away from you because I don't like you, you know? And that's an issue, right? So here the scholars say, like, do not turn away from each other. It literally means just don't physically, you know, face that person. Or number two, being two-faced by treating them differently. So everyone else, salamu alaikum, how you doing? Salamu alaikum. Another person is like, hey. And you don't, you know, you don't really greet them. Everyone else, you smile, you know what I mean? You treat everyone with respect, but that person, you don't. Obviously, because you don't like them. You have anger or hate from them. Other times scholars are talking about here is what's meant by this, to turn away from someone else, is to cut relations with that person. Okay, so remember, we're talking about brothers, they're Muslims amongst Muslims here. So someone has a problem with another person, they hate that person. So guess what? They cut relations with them. There's no more salamu alaikum. I'm not inviting you over to my house anymore. You know, I'm not interacting with you. If you have a business, I'm definitely not going to buy from you, right? I don't want anything to do with you. My kids are not going to play with your kids. Cutting relationships. And like I said, these are ills and viruses and and diseases in society. And like I said, the Prophet ﷺ is trying to heal and make the Muslim ummah and the brotherhood, you know, tight, that we work together, that we love amongst each other, right? That's like, you know, a core element in this beautiful religion that we have. So the Prophet ﷺ is working on this. Do not turn away. Do not cut relationships with each other. And I'm about to give you a three-prong hadith that really emphasizes this point here. And honestly, I believe after these three hadith here, we could probably stop the, you know, class and just, you know, that will be enough for today, because they're heavy wordings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first one, the Prophet said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to estrange relationships, meaning to cut relationships with his brother, Muslim brother we're talking about here, not necessarily your blood brother. That would also be included in the statement. Beyond 3 nights, one turning away and the other turning the other way when they meet. The better of the two, the better of the two is the one who first gives a greeting. So here the Prophet is saying that if someone's going to have, you know, differences with somebody, the Prophet is going to understand this is bound to happen. Humans, sometimes we don't agree with each other, right? That's natural. That's going to happen. So the Prophet said, hey, you got 3 days to work that out. 3 days to, you know, put your, you know, go in your room, put your head down, and, you know, say what you have to say under, you know, under your breath about that person, or what, you know, you feel about that situation. Okay. So, you know, 72 hours is, you know, next day you could, hopefully it subsides. You have a third day, hopefully it's kind of gone. Might be lingering there, but you know what? You're not as that when you were on the first day where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And you're all rowdied up. So the Prophet said, okay, take 3 days. We no problem. We understand. Not everyone's going to, you know, love each other. Not everyone's going to, you know, agree with each other. The problem's going to happen. So the Prophet said that here is that when they meet each other, the better of those two people is that the first one to give the greeting. To say what? Salamu alaikum. How are you doing? Right? To greet that person first. That is the better of the two people. And the Prophet doesn't say that the better of the two people is the one that calls the other one over for dinner. Or, you know, goes on a road trip with them. Or buys them a gift. No. We're just talking about the minimum. It's just saying what? Salaamu alaikum. Or how are you doing, right? It's to greet them. And we know Islamic greeting is Assalamu alaikum, which is actually a dua. May peace be upon you. May Allah put, you know, salam upon you, which is better than saying hi, you know? So here is that, as Muslims, you know, we don't just say hi to each other. Hey, good morning. Hey, how's it going? Salam, like you're making dua. That's literally you're making dua for that person. Allah to put salam, tranquility, peace, you know, upon that person. You know, that's what's so beautiful about the religion. It forces us to have these good relationships with each other, you know, which we need that, you know, we need to tame ourselves. But anyhow, so the Prophet said, what the better is to the one to not cut relationships, but have 3 days breaks if you need to. If it's only 1 day, that's fine. If it's 2 days, that's fine. But nothing more than three. But be the better person to what? To say salams here. And you don't have to say, I am the better person. This is not the point of the hadith. Like, ah, I'm so great, I say salams first. No, it's not. The Prophet is not trying to say that, you know, you should be prideful and you should brag and how you're the better person. No, right? He's emphasizing that take that initiative, right? And run, you know, and try to be the ones that be the first one to do it and get that, you know, get that reward. The Prophet also mentioned that it's not allowable for a Muslim to keep apart from his brother for more than 3 days, and for one that does so and dies in that state will enter hellfire. Subhanallah. That is, like I said, let's take that hadith and then we could just, you know, close up the session for today. And everyone just ponder on that one statement. And, you know, that's enough for today. That hadith, subhanallah, that just, that should, you know, shake people. Just like, just put them in a state of shock about how, you know, let them review their relationship with people now. Let them review their relationship with their family members, you know. And this, how you rarely have, you know, a hadith like this where the Prophet gives something, you know, especially about character and mannerism. You know, about killing someone, okay, then, you know, this person goes to Jahannam, or, you know, doing something, you know, believing other than Allah, then, okay, this is a punishment for that. But you rarely have a hadith that talks about a mannerism, a character, you know, trait, that if someone has it, they go to hellfire for that, you know. And that, you know, that shows you how much this deen emphasizes bold caps underscore, right, about relationships between each other, and especially family relationships. So here the Prophet says it's not allowable for them to keep apart from his brother for 3 days, and this is not talking about blood. This is just like community people. That's what it's saying. That's why we call the Prophet calls us brothers. We're ikhwan, right? Right? You know, that's the term that's used in Surah Hujurat, right? Al-mu'minuna ikhwa. The believers, the Muslims, are brothers. Of course, we're women, we're no sisters, you know, right? We have this relationship. That's not just, they're not friends, okay? They're not acquaintance. They're like, they're family members. That's how strong it is. And the Prophet says that, and someone who dies in the state, right, keeping apart from his fellow Muslim, will enter hellfire. Doesn't mean that they'll be in a hellfire for the rest of, you know, eternity, but it could be that a second, 2 seconds, 3 hours, I don't know, Allahu Alam. But whatever it is, you don't want to come even close to that category or even look at Jahannam from, you know, 100 miles away. You want to be as far as possible from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Allah give us protection from the hellfire, right? But this is more just to emphasize about staying away from somebody for 3 days. And that could be a text you send to the person, a phone call. Whether that person replies, whether that person answers that phone call is another story. But you try to, what? Remember the Prophet, look at the hadith right before this. The best is the one that first initiates it. They see them, say assalamu alaikum. They're another part of the world, they call them. They send a text message. They get no response from them. They don't answer their call. They don't respond back to the voice message. You've done your part. You know, inshallah ta'ala, yawm al-qiyamah, you can say, Allah, I heard the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why I attended those classes on Sunday. I'm just trying to learn how to live my life. And I try to follow, and that person didn't respond back, or whatever the case may be. But I try to follow the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah ta'ala, I would assume that you would be in a very good position if you do that sincerely. Whether that person responded back or not. And inshallah ta'ala, it might take a while for that person to respond back. You know, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften all of our hearts. You know, people do certain things to people that are very hurtful. And like, I don't want to go down to that road. It's going to take a lot of while to explain that. It's already 11:35. We haven't even started the second hadith yet. So anyhow, another one, this hadith here, like I said, this three-prong point here. If the Prophet said that if one keeps apart from his brother for a year, this is well beyond 3 days, right? A sana, yani a year, is like shedding his blood. In Arabic, they use the word, you know, safal damahu, means like to literally kill, like murder that person or kill that person. Okay. This is, like I said, these three hadith here, like when I was preparing the notes on it, I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to get past this one slide once I go over it. It's, you know, very severe. I know, subhanAllah, the very, very important, the words from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah, subhanAllah, like I said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts from those that we don't have relationships with, and to, we ask Allah to soften their hearts, those individuals that might have any issues with us, and to help us, you know, bring back those relationships and connect each other. And one thing I just want to point here before I go into the next slide, some people say, hey, that person did this to me, that person did that to me. You know, the point here, my dear brothers and sisters, from that first hadith we hear, we said the best person, the one to give the greeting to the other person. That it says, Assalamu alaikum, right? Greets them. That does not mean that whatever that person did to you, steal your money, insult you in front of a bunch of other people, you know, took your inheritance, whatever the case may be, that doesn't mean you're justifying their action. Okay? Doesn't mean that saying, yes, you are right. Just means that you know the hadith and you're trying to protect yourself on the day of judgment. And you're trying to follow the guidance of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Because that's what we're mandated to do as Muslims. And that's what we're trying to do. That's all that's saying. Doesn't mean that, yes, when you stole that money from me, I know you're that's fine. I'm actually okay with that. Assalamu alaikum. No. That doesn't necessarily mean that, right? Right. It doesn't mean you have to go give him a hug and buy him flowers or buy her flowers. You know, you're just saying, you're just greeting them. That's it. That's it. Here. Hopefully that will open the door to someone apologizing. Maybe someone giving back something else. Maybe something else. Maybe that's super wishful thinking on my part, right? But here is though, Islam, if you look at it here, opens that door of optimism. And if it is opened up this much, we're going to try to work with that optimism as much as we can, especially with these families' relationships, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet said after that, do not undercut one another in trade, which means that when a customer is about to purchase an item from another, purchasing an item from someone, another seller steps in and tries to offer to sell the same item or similar for the same price. Like I said, I have to go back to the time of the Prophet when, like I said, if I come up to you and say, hey, I'll buy that for $15. Someone jumps in and says, hey, I sell that same item for $15. Or I sell that same item for $10. Buy it from my store. And I'll be like, oh, okay. I don't do that. All right? And if you look at the statement, well, hold on, shouldn't the customer purchase something at the cheapest price possible? Yes, right? That customer should have an option. Hey, if I want to buy from 10 for someone else, that makes logical sense. I'll say $5. You know, Islam wants us to preserve our wealth and get the best price of thing. But you know what's higher than that? How is that person, that seller, going to feel about that other person? Are they going to have good relationships? Are they going to greet each other? Is it going to take a year or 3 days after to say Assalamu alaikum to each other? Of course, that's going to have a bad relationship. So look what Islam is doing. Islam is saying, you know, we'll forfeit the customer to save money to keep those two people's relationship okay. To make sure they still have, you know, they're selling the same items, but they're not have this type of, you know, bad relationship or cut relationship with each other, right? So that's how far Islam goes to it, subhanAllah. Right. So here is that's not allowed for someone else to jump in the sales of another person. And I really don't know a practical aspect of this in today's society on an everyday basis. I think most of us probably don't run into something like this, but I just wanted more just kind of explain how the Prophet ﷺ is trying to make sure that people's relationship with each other is preserved. So what has been mentioned so far is do not inflate prices. Okay. Do not be envious. Or I was the first one, actually. Do not inflate prices. Do not hate one another. Do not turn away from another. Do not undercut another in trade. But look here. Why do we start with do not envy? And didn't start with the other ones. Remember, the Prophet says things in certain orders, right? So the first thing he says is that do not be envious. And then he said, do not inflate prices. Do not hate each other. Do not turn away from each other. do not undercut each other in trade. But why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you guys think out there? I'll let you give you guys some time to, I think you could unmute your mic actually, if you don't want to type into the box. But sometimes that just takes so long to type in the box. And you have to check your spelling and all that kind of stuff. But anyhow, but if you want to unmute your mic, I think you can. And you can explain, why do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with envy before he mentioned inflating prices and hatred and turning away from each other, etc. Right? Why did the Prophet do that for? And I'll let you guys, if you guys want to put anything in the chat box there, I'll wait for that. Other than that, I'm going to move on, inshallah ta'ala. I'll let you guys give some time to write there. Come on, slide. But the Prophet says, rather from all those things, but rather be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and brothers amongst each other. So here, the general term is being servants. So the first thing the Prophet says, do not inflate the prices, do not hate each other, do not turn away from each other, but rather be servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be brothers. And here, I put here that the general term servants is used first, and then there's a more specific term, brothers, is used. Why did the Prophet say that again? Once again, we want to look at these hadith and we want to ponder on it and really study it. Here, the Prophet said, like, don't do all this stuff, but what? Be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that Allah has not ordained any of these things of turning away from each other and cutting relationships with each other. So be obedient to Allah. And then he says, and be brothers, which is understood as being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be brothers. But the Prophet mentions it because what? He wants to emphasize that point. For example, if I say all of you right here, let me just pull out some names here, right? Since you guys are so quiet today, no one's writing anything in the chat box, right? So like I said, all of the, anyone attending this class, you know, are great individuals. And especially brother and brother Zafar. Okay. If I told all of you guys are great people and brother Zafar, why would I mention brother Zafar afterwards? Is he part of everyone in this class? He is. But the reason why I want to mention him separate is maybe I'm specifying something special about him. Okay. Inshallah, all of you are great. I could have picked Sister Humaira, Sister Layla, brother Tawfiq, Uncle Tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. No, everyone here, I could have done that. Right. Brother Zafar caught my eye on the list here, right? So here there's a reason why. So they're emphasizing him. So here, same thing here. The Prophet is saying that, what, be servants of Allah. A part of being servants of Allah, what, is being brothers amongst each other and being brothers. So basically, the Prophet is mentioning that how much brotherhood, relationships with each other. And that's why at the masjid we say, hey, brother Omar, hey, brother Ahmed, hey, sister Fatima, hey, sister Aisha, because they're not just a regular person. We see them as our brother. We see them as our sister, you know. It doesn't really mean that the title has to be there, but it's more of like, you know, you usually give titles to people because you honor them. Mr., Mrs., you know, sir, how are you doing, right? Professor, etc. But you give them that title because that's kind of the relationship, you know, that we want to emphasize and remind ourselves that is sister Aisha, that's brother Omar. Right? Because this love and stuff that we have between each other, right? So the Prophet says, what? We'd rather be servants of Allah, brothers amongst each other. So what are some of the, how do we do this? So the Prophet goes over and says, what are some of the rights that we have amongst each other? And he says, what? Do not, and the words in blue are from the hadith here. He says, do not oppress each other. But what is oppression? Oppression is pretty much taking away the rights of somebody. Somebody has a right to you know, take back their money. And so somebody has their money, they borrowed it, they're not giving it back to them. That's oppression, right? So do not oppress your fellow brother. Give them their rights. They did a job for you, make sure you pay them on time, right? You know, do not oppress your brother. Do not fail him. When I say brother, I mean sister here too, also. I wonder if everyone understand that. But do not fail your fellow Muslim. Here, what does that mean? That if you find out your fellow Muslim is in need of assistance, is in need of help, right? Is that you will do something to try to assist them. You might not have for the financial ability to do it. You might not be able to, hey, I see that you're moving this weekend. I mean, I'm done lifting up boxes in my life. My back is gone, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a young boy as I used to be. But maybe, you know, I could maybe cook some food and bring it over since you're moving your new house. You probably don't have your kitchen, you know, all put together. Maybe I could bring over a sandwich. Maybe I could inform some other, my son to do it. He's a lot younger than me. Maybe he could kind of help out, right? So you don't fail your brother, meaning knowing when there's a need that they have, right? There's a job. You know this brother in the community has been looking for a job. And you're like, oh man, may Allah help you. No, that's good. You give dua, you make dua for them. But maybe you say like, let me think here. Who are the engineers in the community? Who are the ones that own the restaurants? Who are the one that owns the business that I could maybe, you know, pass on his resume? Or I know this place that's hiring, right? So you go a little bit beyond. You don't want to fail them when you know you could have something that might help them, okay? Does not lie to them. Give them false information about a program, a plan, or whatever the case may be. And that's obvious. Hopefully nobody's in this category of lying to people. Number four is does not hold them in contempt. Will you belittle somebody because they're from a different country than you are? Because they're from a different sector of society or class of society, right? You might have, you know, you might be the doctor, the engineer, this person, you know, is this type of status. You don't belittle them in terms of their, you know, their family or what their struggles are. They're human too. They're your brother too. You know, they want success in this world. They want help. They want assistance, right? You don't look down and upon them at all. Come on, slide. Oh, do not fail him. I put here, I don't know why this came up last minute here. Is that somebody backbites that person, someone speaks ill about that person, then you don't fail them by not defending their honor. So you say, no, that brother's a good person. No, they do good. You know, mashallah, there, I know them, right? And so you don't want people to you know, eat away or insult other people, take away from their honor by you not defending them if someone speaks bad about them. SubhanAllah, that's one way. You could also think about that, okay? And then the Prophet ﷺ says, taqwa, piety is here. And he pointed at his heart three times, okay? And this is short. Why is, go back here. The Prophet ﷺ is talking about all these things. Do not inflate prices, you know, don't turn away from each other, don't hate each other, don't fail your brother, don't oppress them, don't lie, don't hold them in contempt, right? And then after all of that, the Prophet says that taqwa, piety is here. And he points to his chest three times. What's on our chest, we all know, is the heart. And the heart, if it's disease, then the limbs will be disease. If the heart has hatred in it, then the limbs are not going to extend a hand to help somebody. If the heart has hatred in it, then the tongue is not going to say good things, right? And so this is a control system here, right? The central processing unit, CPU. And so here is that if the Prophet said taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does our Lord want from us? Be servants of Allah, be brothers amongst each other. If here, the taqwa is here, the heart knows that, then the limbs are gonna act responsible to them, okay? And just going back to hadith number six, going way, way, way back, where the Prophet said that truly in the body there is a morsel of flesh. If it be whole, the whole body is whole. And if it wakes up as disease, the whole body is disease. And truly that is the heart. So if the heart is conscious of his Lord, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is going to be a waking heart. It's going to be very conscious when they hear the need of their brother. How can I help? What can I do? Right, I'm busy this weekend. Maybe I could find out if I could, you know, give that person a call. I could maybe do something else, right? And so our heart is always alive, thinking about how they can help. It's the way it's trained, okay? And so that's pretty much what the Prophet is mentioning here. The whole of a Muslim is invaluable for another Muslim, his blood, his property, and his honor. The last thing, the Prophet once again, emphasizing brotherhood, brotherhood, brotherhood in this whole hadith here, is saying that the whole of a Muslim, the entire person, is invaluable. Basically, that you should not not try to violate any of the person's rights, and that means their blood, of course, harming them, physical harm, okay, their property, right, their money, their wealth. You would not want to destroy it, and of course, their honor, and that is the treatment that I honor that person. I'm going to say salam to them. I'm going to make sure they have a smile on their face, right? I'm going to make sure that their needs are respected, right? They're part of society. They get that dignity. That's a good word. They get that dignity that they deserve just being a fellow Muslim. Okay. And so that is hadith number 35, subhanAllah. Like I said, truckload of information there. Took a lot more than I thought, but I had a feeling this was going to happen. And so I'm not going to try to start hadith number 36 right now because of the time. I believe it's 11:51. So I don't want to take up any of Dr. Siddiqui's time by even starting hadith number 36. So that means that we'll just go over hadith number 36 next week. And that might possibly mean I might need another week after that to do a summary now. I wasn't thinking I was going to do that. But anyhow, but nonetheless, like I said, our main thing here is that we are benefiting and we are learning and we are pondering on these words here. This hadith here needs to be read about 2 or 3 or 4 times to really emphasize or understand each exact point. There's a lot in here, and we tried to unpack it as much as we can. It took us pretty much the whole entire session for today. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in following the best that we hear, and that inshallah ta'ala we have this concept of brotherhood, and take away the diseases of the heart of envy and turn away from each other and hatred in our heart from each other. And we learn how to work together in our communities, in our masajid, in our family gatherings, in our relationships with our friends and families, that alhamdulillah, this Muslim bond that we have is much greater than maybe we thought it is, if you will. Especially from this hadith, you see how important it is about the Prophet focuses on our brotherhood, on our relationship with each other. At the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Kareem, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, to forgive us for our wrongdoings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghafoor, to help us fulfill the rights of our fellow brothers and our sisters, Ya Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to take away any hatred, any dislike, any jealousy, any envy from our hearts, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us for our wrongdoings. Strengthen our iman and taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect us from this virus and this pandemic. Give us a shifa for it, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Shafi. Subhana rabbika rabbi izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. It's good to always be with you every this these Sunday mornings. Please stay with and continue with Dr. Siddiqui in his tafsir class. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi, Shaykh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, good. How are you?
So just one.